gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's a wonderful day, absolutely wonderful day. I don't know when I said that last, but it is spectacular out today. What a wonderful weekend to be outdoors. Thanks for joining us this morning. Speaking of outdoors, you're listening to Outdoor Journal Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. Over there, Stephen Labadee.
Morning, how are you?
With his new Fishing Canada hat. Look at you.
Yeah.
How'd you score that?
I took it from the box. Back building.
You took it. You're not supposed to say that. Somebody could be listening. Obviously, not a big day tonight.
Oh, no. I'm going to go home and chill, do some work. Look who's talking, though. You're wearing a T-shirt today. You usually wear, like, a dress shirt. You're wearing, like, a Harley shirt today.
Well,
like,
what's going on? I got nothing happening this weekend either.
Look at that.
Welcome to my world. Derek Brandeo and Kyle Norris at The Fan, keeping us honest today on the straight and narrow, hopefully. We'll see. Wonderful program. First of all, let me just tell folks about this great new site that is taking the country by storm. It's called fishingcanada.com. Anything and everything you wanted to know about fishing in this wonderful country is all there at your fingertips. Fishingcanada.com. It features all kinds of stuff. I mean, aside from the fact that for those of you who always say, well, I can't get any old episodes of Fishing Canada. I want to see some of my favorites. Well, guess what? It's there.
Yes.
And for those of you who say, you don't give us any how-tos. Like, where can I get how-tos and all that stuff if I miss it on the show? Well, guess what? It's there.
Plus more.
I've got a whole list of things. Why?
Well, plus more how-tos, not just the ones that are on TV.
These are exclusive.
Yeah, there's not just the ones that are on TV. There's also more, right?
See, I did not know that. See, I just learned something new. That's fantastic.
Well, you're the one that's writing them.
Fishing. Why are you saying that? I'm giving you all this wonderful stuff, and you're blowing it. I mean, fishingcanada.com also gives you fishing hotspots. The only site, as far as I'm concerned, in the country that actually gives you GPS coordinates to some of the best hotspots in this nation, wall to wall, as they say, for just about every species. I mean, even obscure species. We've got hotspots on there for sturgeon, believe it or not. We had hotspots on there for channel cat. We got hotspots on there for carp.
Yes.
And of course, walleye and bass and muskie and
pike.
Yeah. Hotspots galore. Great outdoor news segment. If you want to know what's going on in the news, outdoor news that is, go to fishingcanada.com. And last but not least, wild game recipes. And I understand, I talked to the boss, I understand this coming week we're going to start posting some of the best shore lunch recipes in the nation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
So just another reason to go to fishingcanada.com. Of course, a couple of other reasons. Let me throw them at you. ODJ Radio, Outdoor Journal Radio, this very program that you listen to every Saturday morning, is now featured on fishingcanada.com.
Yes.
And not only featured, but broken down segment by segment and transcribed for you if you want to read it as opposed to listen. Just another place to hang out during your ODJ feast every
binge.
Saturday morning. Binge. Thank you. One final reason to go to fishingcanada.com.
Yeah.
How would you like a free 9.9 Mercury motor?
I would love one.
I guess so. You and me both, brother, but we can't.
Exactly.
Every month until November. Every month, the 15th of every month, we are giving away a 9.9 Mercury Marine 4-stroke brand new technology outboard motor on fishingcanada.com.
Yes.
All you have to do is go to fishingcanada.com and click enter on the contest button. And you go to the contest. It's got a skill testing question. Don't worry. Hold it. Don't panic. Skill testing, yes. However, if you don't know the answer, of which there will be four choices to deal with, there's a hint button
Yes.
You click the hint button, it'll take you to the answer. Pretty simple. They get it easier than that.
Exactly.
And then you enter a ballot. Now, the unique part about this contest is that you can re-enter every single day. Every 24 hours, you put a new ballot in the box.
Yep.
And what that means is the more ballots you put in, the you up your chances of winning one of these beauties. We already gave away our first one last month.
Yep.
I don't have the gentleman's name in front of me, but
Bernie
from Pickering, I believe it was.
Bernie Ikaida, I think his last name was.
Bernie Ikaida, congratulations to Bernie. Can we get him on the show? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I can talk to the powers that be.
I shouldn't have to mention that as the host, but I thought it'd be nice if we got him on the air just to
sounds good
see how he's doing with his 9.9.
Yeah,
because he won it by going on the contest. He was a frequent entrant, meaning he was on there every day dropping a new ballot in the box.
He entered 19 times.
Exactly. So it just goes to show you, you need to up your chances, and the chances are real good. You've got, 5 days left before the next draw or
that's,
less?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday?
Yes.
Next Wednesday. That'd be about 5 days, including today.
Sure. Let's go with that.
So you got 5 days, including today, to enter in the Mercury Marine 9.9 monthly giveaway. And you can go there right now while you're listening to us. Go there right now. Why not? Why not? That's all I got to say. Don't forget, May 15th is the next draw in 5 days. So get in there often and up your chances. All right, in the news. Am I getting crackling or is it just me in my head here?
It's probably just you.
It could be my head crackling a little bit. Lakes in central Ontario are starting to ice out. Now, that would normally mean that's good news, right, Stephen? If you're an angler, your lakes are starting to thaw, you say, yahoo.
Yep, exactly.
You know, let's have at it.
Let's get fishing.
The problem is, of course, as they thaw out, that also increases water levels and water flow and makes things a little bit dangerous. So I urge everybody to check, especially if you're going out. You know, this is camping season coming up next weekend, Victoria Day weekend. It's the kickoff to the camping season in this part of the world. I would strongly suggest that you check if you've got if you're scheduled for a campsite. I would strongly suggest that you check with those folks because there is a lot of flooding, as you probably heard this week, a lot of flooding going on throughout the province. And it might be a really good idea to check it out. And you know what? If these are flooded conditions and everything is damp and wet, you might want to hold off. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just suggesting.
Makes sense.
But if this nice weather keeps up, like today, you know, for another 7 days, I think you'd be okay, personally. But don't take my word for anything. Check with Ontario Parks. That's ontarioparks.ca. Ontarioparks.ca. They'll have the latest update on conditions for you. License-free family fishing and Mother's Day weekend. Did you remember it's Mother's Day?
Yes.
When is Mother's Day?
Sunday.
Thank you. I'm just checking.
Oh, I won't forget that one. I'll be in the doghouse for years.
And so the question is it a coincidence that the folks at the Ontario government decided to put license-free family fishing on Mother's Day weekend? Do you think? Or is it just they picked something out of the calendars? And
yeah, they might have just picked it out. So let's go here.
Because, I mean, let's be honest about it. What mom would not love the opportunity to go fishing license-free on a Mother's Day?
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Totally agree with you.
There you go. There you go. When you get home, take mom out.
Sounds good.
This week's guest, based on a recent study. Mark this down, Stephen. These numbers are important. Based on a recent study of 10,000 children.
Okay.
How would you even study 10,000 kids, by the way?
I don't know. That's a lot of kids.
Well, we're going to find out. These children were between the ages of 8 and 12, and they were asked a series of questions, which hopefully we can find out what some of those questions are later on in the program. But the bottom line is that two-thirds of this group of 10,000 were lagging behind in physical literacy.
Oh, interesting.
I've never heard of that phrase.
Me neither.
Huh. Oh, fiscal. Fiscal.
Physical?
Not physical. Fiscal. Hmm. Physical. I don't know. It's all to me, those words don't go together, but I'm going to find out. Fiscal literacy, and it's going on coast to coast all around us. Joining us a little later on in the program is Dr. Mark Tremblay, who is from the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. He's going to talk to us about the survey. More importantly, though, he's going to talk to us about their findings regarding the outdoors and kids who participate in the outdoors and kids who don't. It's a very, very interesting study, and we'll talk to him a little later on. We talked about the Merck 9.9 outboards that we're giving away, nine of them to be exact. That's why we call it Lotto 999 here at Fishing Canada Outdoor Journal.
Yep.
Joining us this morning is Peter Hart from Mercury Marine. He is Director of Sales and Marketing, and he was the man behind this wonderful initiative. He's going to tell us about this wonderful product that they're giving away. It's just not a 9.9. It's one of the most highly advanced outboard motors on the planet. And he's going to tell us about that and, of course, all kinds of other things relating to Mercury. It is the time of year, and I know you are a big fan of this, Stephen. You and our Chaga King, Jerry Ouellette, you know, you're kinned by the fact that you love going out and collecting wild edibles.
Yeah, especially, yeah.
Right? Like yeah, you go out and collect mushrooms and all that stuff this time of year. But there's a whole whack of other good edibles out there that come out this time of year, and it's a short window. But this is it for the next 3 weeks. You can have at it so things like fiddleheads, for example. Have you had fiddleheads?
No.
See?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what a fiddlehead is?
No clue.
I do. You know those ferns that you see when you're walking along a riverbank or through the woods? You see these big, huge ferns
all over
the place.
Yeah.
Well, before they become a fern, they're called a fiddlehead. And it's just before they actually open up into a leaf.
Okay.
They call them a fiddlehead because it looks like a violin, the end of a violin all rolled up, right? You don't even know what the hell
I'm talking
about.
Exactly.
You have no
about.
Idea what the hell I'm talking about.
I could see it in my head.
Yeah, I could see it in your head.
I'm going to go Google it right now.
Anyways, they sell them in the grocery stores, and I don't know whether they're organic in that they pick them wild or whether they're farm-raised. But anyways, this is the time of year to go out getting things like fiddleheads, along with, like I said, a multitude of other things, wild leeks, watercress, wild asparagus.
Ooh, I love asparagus.
Who doesn't love asparagus?
That's the best with a little cheese on top.
Morels and a whole host of other things. Well, we're going to talk to somebody today that can lead us in the right direction. She's been on the program before. Her name is Karen Stevenson from Edible Wild Food. She'll join us to talk to us about foraging in the forest this time of year. Then we're going to go fishing in Ontario. Bobby Joe Chenier from Wild Goose Lake Resort. Is going to join us from the Geraldton area. Great place. I checked it out on the web. It's fantastic. And our good friend Danny Thompson from Garmin Electronics. He's going to tell us what's new, what's happening, what to look for, and what to buy. And there are some, well, as you know from listening to this program, certainly, Garmin is the leader in outdoor technology.
Yes.
From wearables to the, you know, the biggest thing in the fishing world called Panoptics and everything in between, GPS, they own that market. He'll talk to us about all kinds of goodies. A lot of news to cover, my friends. But first, a little behind-the-scenes look at this week's nationally televised most watched fishing and outdoor program. It's on Global Television Network, and it is called Fishing Canada. Of course, fishingcanada.com. We were talking about it earlier on. What a connection. What a connection. Go there, and you'll have all kinds of fun. But anyways, you can watch the program right now on Global. It starts 8 o'clock Saturday mornings, coast to coast, and it is a wonderful show. Today is part two of the inaugural Fishing Canada Carp Cup.
Look at that.
What an exciting. You were on that event.
Yes.
You covered it. You were like the master of ceremonies or something there, if I recall.
I was the boom operator.
You looked like you were in charge. Let's put it that way.
Well, I wasn't, so.
Great episode. They probably wish. A four-day event where the anglers fish around the clock. They do not move from their rods, except, of course, for, you know.
Yeah.
When Mother Nature calls, but otherwise they are at their rods for 4 days round the clock. And why, you may ask, why are they doing this insane activity? Because one of them will qualify for the World Carp Cup. And let me tell you, if you don't know anything about carp fishing on the planet, you know it's the, I would think, the most single sought-after species anywhere except here in Canada. But we're starting.
Yes.
But anyways, the prestigious World Carp Cup will have a Canadian team there, and it will be represented by the lucky winner of this week's episode of Fishing Canada. So check it out on Global Television Network. Of course, if you're listening to us right now, you may not be watching.
So go to www.fishingcanada.com, click on TV, the next broadcast is right there, or check it out on Global BC Channel at 1 o'clock.
That are it, Stephen. Let's move along. Ah, yes, sirree. Time to do a little in-house safety with our in-house safety expert. His name is Bradley Schlorf, a retired OPP sergeant, Bradley Schlorf. He's got all kinds of good things for us. Say, hey, Bradley.
Leaks.
Leaks. Who doesn't like leaks?
Well, right now I'm sitting, there's a patch of leaks that are about an inch high, just starting to come up maybe 15 feet away from me.
Hey, Brad, I wonder how many people would even recognize a leak.
How's well, that? If it's dripping on the top of your head, most people notice that. The little things in the bush, maybe not.
I like how Brad starts off the conversation every week with one word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Leaks.
I know. He's famous for that.
Raining.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
Well, it's always in
the only thing better than that is Sean Kelly's emails.
Yes, that is true, too.
What are you doing out there in the woods today?
Well, I'm not doing anything, really, other than shivering a little bit. It was minus 1 degree when I went out.
Wow. So it's still chilly. You're out hunting down turkey?
Trying.
Yeah,
not
how's that coming along?
Going on today, though, other than looking at these leaks.
Check out the fiddleheads. They can't be too far away from you.
I'll go for a walk in a little while.
Is this not a bad time to be out turkey hunting when it's sort of cold and damp? Don't you have to wait for that first real bright sunny day, or am I totally off on that?
Oh, it's bright and sunny. Like, that's all nice. It's just cold. But the world is perfect.
The world
I'm
is
in the
good.
Bush, and I'm talking to you on the phone. How much better does it get than that?
None, buddy. None. I said at the top of the program that we are looking at the thaw time. A lot of lakes are thawing out. So I want to talk to you about that. It's a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong, but it also comes with some perils. And so if I could get you to sit down there by your leaks, take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
If you are truly the adventuresome type and into whitewater kayaking or canoeing in dangerous waters, then the nation's capital is the place to unpack your paddles, don your life preserver, and throw on your survival gear. The Ottawa River and all its tributaries have been wreaking havoc on shoreline residences, flooding thousands out of homes and causing billions in damages. It's a heartbreaking sight, and it's been the lead item on newscasts for close to 2 weeks. Since having my minor stroke back in November, I am as useless as a sandbagger as sandbaggers come, but upwards of 15,000 volunteers showed up at various hard-hit venues in the Ottawa region, along with 400 members of the armed forces, and began filling up some 4 million sandbags. As I write this, all volunteers have been told to stand down and take a rest, because once the water finally recedes, there will be a hell of a lot of cleanup to do following it. Those 4 million sandbags, for example, now contaminated, will have to be loaded up and hauled away. And then there is all the debris the flooding has created. Trees, logs, building materials, huge walls of mud, the list goes on. I lived through the 1998 ice storm in Ottawa, then called the Storm of the Century, and this year's flooding comes as close in dollars and cents to the ice damage created then. This is the kind of event Environment Minister Catherine McKenna likes to point her finger at and say, "I told you so," about climate change. This is now the second time in 3 years that Ottawa has been nailed hard by extreme flooding. Maybe McKenna might be onto something, but I'm still not betting on it. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Mm-mm. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo and Kyle Norris on the board today. And somewhere in the woods, hopefully not lost, is our in-house safety reporter, a former retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, Bradley Schlorf. You still there, buddy?
I'm all there.
Okay. You sound like you're cold, man.
I am cold.
We'll try not to keep you so you can get back home. You should not be out there in the woods, by the way, at your advanced stage in life, you know?
I'm going to tell you, about 5 seconds after I get off air, I'm packing up and heading for a hot coffee.
Brad, I want to talk to you about the story that came out on CBC News this past week about the mother that's reaching out to folks and saying what we've been saying here. I don't know, you and I have been at this whatever number of years, delivering the same message every Saturday morning. And, there's been some improvement, but we're still far, far away from hitting a home run with this, aren't we?
So this is one of those stories of where a mother takes a tragedy and tries to make something good out of it. An 11-year-old boy with his father, his brother, and a couple other kids, they had cottage country, you know, they're near Gananoque. They go to the store to get an ice cream cone, but get some gas for the boat. And on their way back, they hit a big wave, boat capsizes. And that this 11-year-old boy drowns. And to make it worse, he's not recovered for 49 days. And there's a very, very, very intensive search. They use resources from both sides of the border. There are volunteers come. There's a huge search, and still it takes 49 days for them to get some closure. So mom has taken the bull by the horns. And to begin with, there's a petition been sent to the Minister of Transport with 2,400 names on it. So there's 2,400 names on it that think that at least kids should have to wear PFDs in Canada.
Nice. And let's make it 2,402. If you haven't already signed it, I would love to be able to put my signature on that because it's the only way. I'm convinced. I'm 100% convinced that the only way we're going to be able to at least have a fighting chance of survival when we're on water is to have a life jacket on. So why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't it be legislated now?
2 points on that. Number one is put the guy with the brand new ball hat on this, try and find out some way that he can get the petition online.
Yes.
That's like a hint, Steve. Steve, it's you with the new ball hat I'm talking about.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Say it again.
Yeah. He was
I was listening. I'll get that information. Do you have that information? I'll get it from you, and we'll post it up online.
No, I don't. That's sure. Why I was saying it might be a really good task for you. And I'm going to do a 180-degree turn here live on air. I've always advocated that this is stupid to make it mandatory just for kids.
Yes.
And there are other precedents, you know, like baby seats and helmets on bicycles and stuff like that. But it's time to start someplace.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to. We have to. We have no option at this point. It's ridiculous, absolutely insane that we don't mandate life jackets for kids. And it's, to me,
though,
it should
be for everybody.
I was going to say, to me, it should be for everybody. But you're right. If we can at least get this first phase in, hooray, good on us. Somebody has to take the bull by the horns at the federal level, I believe, on this. And they need to go for it. We can't be, you know, I said you and I have been doing this for years, every Saturday coming on air and throughout the course of the summer and the fall, there's usually a tragedy that we have to report. And we try and use that tragedy to heighten awareness of the importance of wearing some kind of flotation device on the water. And I don't think, in as much as we're making a dent, I that's all we're doing. So hats off to anybody who can get this thing mandated and passed through.
And when you
go
think
get
about
your
the absurdity of it, it takes a mother of a child to take the bull by the horns.
Yeah, by the way, you can see that report on CBC News. It was posted May the 6th. It's gut-wrenching. You have to read it. You have to go there. If you need to push yourself over the edge and be fully motivated into being a believer in life jackets, go read that report. Go read that story. Hopefully it'll do it. If not, you're not human. That's all I can say. Bradley, go and dry off, my friend.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right. Bradley Schlarf, our in-house safety expert, out in the woods looking for turkeys. Doesn't sound like he's going to be hanging out there much longer, that's for sure.
He's gone.
He's out of here. And we didn't even force him to go out there, by the way.
No, that's his choice.
Yeah. Exactly. By the way, before we go on to my next guest, one of the other things, and I don't know how I missed it. I had it written all over the place. There's a great piece of video on fishingcanada.com right now on the front page about that bass angler who jumped in the water to catch
yes.
that bass.
Yes.
What a fascinating! First of all, it's a fascinating piece of footage because we've those of us who fish bass, hardcore bass anglers, know that we've been in that position a million times and maybe did not go to the lengths and extreme actions that this angler took with that fish. But you got to go check it out because it's very cool. If it doesn't put a smile on your face, man, you're not a bass angler.